your bags and get ready. Hitting the road with the best of friends, and you know that you're gonna rock steady. Ain't gotta listen to your teacher when you're getting wasted by the beach again. You got Ballyhoo pumping in your stereo. This is a summer jam song, here we go. Say, jump out of line, start to unwind. Jump, jump. Before you gotta get back to the grind, and don't waste a minute of your summertime. Sing it one more time.
All right, welcome back, guys. Stroll Show here at Radio Free Brooklyn. We got a good one to you. We can't find the theme song going. I don't know what's going on with that. Got a little technical difficulty.
This place the plug.
The plug for the iPod is inconspicuously missing. Yeah, so if anyone's got an auxiliary plug, just let us know and we'll fucking hook it up. We're sitting here though. We got a special guest in studio. We got Jump for the Sales here, Queens Band. These guys looks like they woke up early morning for these guys.
Yeah. On a Sunday, yeah.
It was early for us too. We were telling you guys off mic that we had a late night. You know, we were at one of my friend's birthdays, so nice. enjoyed myself. Yeah,
which you should do on a Saturday night.
Yeah, exactly. And so you know, it was rough. And waking up today was not easy, but you know, we're all here. We had we went to the deli. I thought he got a bacon, egg, and cheese, and turned to be a bacon and cheese on a bagel. I've never done that.
No huevos?
No eggs. I was surprised. Like, I'll get what he's having because I assumed the eggs, but that was incorrect. So
he was like, you just got bacon? Like you just
I mean,
bacon?
Bacon's good, but
it's good, but it's not a main meat on a sandwich. I feel like so you know.
I wholeheartedly disagree.
Yeah, well, go
ahead.
I know
what you're having.
It's true. I mean, I should have realized, knowing him, everything revolves around bacon, so it could only be bacon.
You said you wanted something dirty,
yeah,
and I said, hey. Bacon is dirty, right? Bacon is like a bacon sandwich. Can it get dirtier? I don't think so.
It can't get dirtier. So anyway, regardless of that, we're here. We're ready to go. And these lovely men are sitting in the studio. We're drinking. Hell yeah. We're drinking. We got Vex. That's awesome.
That's Josh for you.
that's
unbelievable. So
hair of the dog. You know what I'm saying?
I feel like that's the best way to cure a hangover is to continually drink. You never
just keep it going.
Just keep it going so you never get the hangover.
Exactly.
So I guess we'll go around, but introduce you guys. If you guys want to just, you know, just...
I had a question I want to ask, too. When you introduce yourselves, we were talking about video games off mic. I want to know your favorite N64 game after you introduce yourself.
Oh, done.
Okay, please. I would like to know these things.
That. Okay, cool. Go for it.
Well, I'm Josh. I play bass, and I never had an N64.
Sorry,
guys.
That shouldn't matter. I didn't have one either.
Yeah, really.
Oh, you guys.
Well, what's your favorite game?
It's gotta be one. My favorite game of all time.
No, 64 game.
Oh, I don't know. I never played it really. So,
oh,
not one?
So are you saying you were too young to have it?
Or no. I had
you had PlayStation instead.
When people were playing 64, I was playing like Super Nintendo. Like I was first getting it then, and I was playing like Final Fantasy and stuff like that.
I have two favorites though, so I'll make up for his lack.
Yeah, no, but give us like just the favorite game then, in general. Favorite video game, regardless of N64.
Favorite video game ever, probably Final Fantasy VII.
Okay. All right.
Are you pumped about the new game that just came out?
Yeah, man.
I've been hearing a lot of crazy things.
Yeah,
I've been hearing mixed
reviews.
I've been
watching one of my friends play it, and I mean, I'm gonna buy a PS4 for my little brother.
And be like, hey bro, can I sneak in on this a little bit?
Just keep it in my place.
Yeah, right.
Keep it in the station.
But I will be playing it soon.
That's what Final Fantasy VII, nice. All right, I'm Ken. I'm the drummer. And 64 games, definitely Mario Kart.
Hell yeah.
Staple.
Classic. That, when I got that game, it blew my fucking mind. Yeah. The 3D aspect.
Yeah, N64 was revolutionary when I got that as a kid. It was
it is between Mario Kart and NFL Blitz.
Oh,
many friendships ended for both games.
Yeah, I love Blitz. Yeah,
when the power switch is on, like the friendship is done.
Yeah.
We still have competitions to this day playing Super Smash and nice. Mario Kart. I just suck at Mario Kart. I don't. And all you got to do is push a one button.
Nah, you got to be drifting, man. There's a huge
there's, yeah, it's
in
true.
That.
There's
a whole
like,
theory behind it. It's like math and.
Oh, that's not my forte for sure.
Do you guys ever play Mario Kart?
Beerio card was like you take a drink for every time you get hit.
It was you have like, well, I don't know, if maybe we do a little differently because we had like a full beer, and what you had to do was
you can't drink and drive, so you had to finish the beer before the race was over.
Oh wow!
So you had to like pull over to drink,
pull over,
and then you chug, and then you put the beer down, and you go back and drive again, and have to first to finish the beer and the race.
You've inspired wins. Us.
So if you win the race and your beer's not done, do you get like disqualified?
Yeah, you're disqualified. You're right. Yeah, like basically what I'll do is I'll just because I'm good at chugging beers, I'll do it right before I even press a button. I'll chug the entire thing, and then I'll try to catch up to everybody else.
That's your gameplay. Yeah. Nice.
Wait, and what's your game?
My name is Elijah. I sing and play guitar, and I would say Ocarina of Time is. That's the.
I should have known. You have Majora's Mask on your on your.
To me,
your
they're kind of the same game for me in a sense because they're it's a sequel. But Ocarina of Time is the first game I developed the perfect method of faking being sick so I could stay home and play it.
That's a good move.
I tried everything like the thermometer trick, all that. My mom knew. So what I would do is I would take last night's leftovers, baking soda, Coca-Cola. And flour, and I'd mix it all up, and I'd wait by the bathroom and wait for my mom to come in. And as soon as I did, I would just like make like a gagging sound, be like, and then she'd be like, "Oh, honey, you're sick. You could stay home." And I would just wait by the window, see her go down the block, and then I would be like, my dog would be a cue that she was coming up the stairs again. Like the ears would go up and be like, "Oh, back in bed."
Yeah, that's a good move. That's like a Ferris Bueller type move right there.
Yeah, dude. I was like seven, and it was the most genius thing I'd ever thought of. Barf, nothing like, since then.
If insane. Any children are listening, take note here from Elijah.
Take note. Patent it. It's the Elijah system.
Speaking of childhood and growing up, so you guys grew up in Queens? Are you you're from Queens originally?
For the most part. I mean, we've all moved around a bit.
I've always lived in Queens. It was always Ridgewood, then it was Astoria. Yeah. Then Ridgewood again. Now was it Maspeth?
Somewhere in Queens.
Well, I was raised in Queens, but I was actually born in Japan.
No shit.
Yeah, you can't see from my dad, you know. Yeah. I was born in Japan. I moved here when I was two, and pretty much been in Queens the rest of my life.
So you moved here when you were two.
Yeah.
Wow. So you don't remember anything about being in Japan or anything?
You know, bits and pieces. I was actually there last November, and we walked by this park. By my grandmother's place, and I was like, whoa. I was like, I've been here before.
The force is telling me I've been here before.
I was just like really small, minute things.
That's crazy. I mean, I work at a Japanese company.
Nice.
So, like, I'm kind of, like, entrenched in the culture more than, like, the average, you know. But anyway, so what was it like? What was it like coming to Queens?
I mean, coming here as a baby was, you know, apparently I've been to Hawaii. I don't remember.
You know, wow. So you were a secret assassin agent.
Exactly.
A prodigy, like, assassin at two.
I feel like the only things that stand out to me are, like, I didn't like pizza when I first moved here. Wow. I didn't like soda. Actually, I didn't like soda until maybe I was, like, 13.
Yeah. Jeez, so.
Soda.
What was it? Just like, oh, it's so sweet. These Americans.
It was the carbonation. I don't know. It was just.
Oh, they don't have carbonation in Japan?
Well, no, they do.
That's why they fail.
I guess in the States, all their drinks are loaded with all this sugar and sodium and shit that it's, you know. Like, it's funny. You'll get a ramen packet. The same ramen packet that they sell in the United States is a lot healthier for you in Japan.
I'm not surprised by that at all. Because the sodium content is, like, in the thousands, isn't it? It's like you're, like, preserving your insides.
It is maybe a third of that in Japan.
You want some seasoning with your salt?
Yeah.
Exactly. I feel like it's all in that little packet. Like, if you get the ramen packets
with,
like, the chicken flavoring. It's like if you don't put that in, that's like all the sodium right there.
Yeah.
Unless it's in the waffle ramen, you know.
Are you like diluted?
No, I don't think the ramen has any nutritional value in itself. It's like no, it's
just a cheap meal. Just to eat,
just on your wallet.
So what was it like for you guys growing up in Queens? Like, obviously you must have been involved in like the music scene over there. Like we're Brooklyn guys. Queens kind of is a little bit of a mystery. To us, I would say. I mean, like, I go there and I'm like, there's like a 118 Street and 118 Avenue and 118 Lane. They're like, there's like, I don't know. And then the address is like 1-800-. So it's like a phone number.
Call
like,
ATT.
It depends
where
you are. There is the same address on like five blocks.
I've had a lot of issues trying it because I used to work for a lawyer and I have to go to like the Queens Court. And my GPS would be, like, freaking out trying to figure out where the fuck I was going.
Did you mean this?
Yeah. You want Lane, Avenue, Way, Drive? Yeah. Like, what do you... But I was just curious, like, what the music scene was like growing up for you guys in Queens.
I mean, growing up, it wasn't anything crazy, really. It was just playing with your friends and stuff like that. I mean, two of my brothers played, so they played guitar. I played with them. And, I mean, I was always, like, joining different bands and stuff. And, I mean, that's how I met Elijah, Like, we met
Guitar Center.
Guitar Center.
We were like 15. That was, yeah, like the place to go when you cut high school. You go, you smoke a joint or a blunt on the roof, and you go downstairs and, you know, you play guitar for like hours and hours and hours and hope you didn't get kicked out.
Yeah, we were always in there.
But I met him and just, you know, we never, one thing was always happening where he lived too far, or I lived too far, or, you know, that he couldn't do this, I couldn't do that, you know. So, like, you know, eventually we knew each other for a while, and, you know, we're always playing shows and always playing in different bands, and, you know, would hit each other up randomly, and then, you know, we met up again and, you know, asked him to join the band.
Yeah.
But, Queens was a weird scene. It was good and it was bad. There's a venue I used to go to all the time as a kid called Red Zone.
Oh, yeah, definitely heard of that.
And,
that's like the Queens version of, like, the temple or something, right?
Something like that. Yeah, it was awesome because I went to my first shows there. And, you know, I was seeing bands like Patent Pending and like High School Football Heroes and Ismada. And
Actually just had High School Football Heroes on the show a couple weeks ago.
I saw that. They're really awesome guys. Like, even in Go Big, we actually we had them play on one of our shows once.
Awesome! Love Go Big. They go big.
They do definitely. But other than that, Red Zone was really, like, the only thing that, you know, Queens kids had. And then it kind of died out with, like, the whole, when, like, hardcore came and, like, the new hardcore, you know, crowd bashing. And, like, I guess the venue was falling apart, so, like, sold the place.
You saw that, like, changeover kind of, right? Like,
yeah,
as you were growing up.
I mean, my first show was when I was, like, 13 years old. It was Patent Pending, High School Football Heroes, and, like, two other local bands I can't remember. But, I didn't know how to skank, and I learned how to skank in the bathroom. I learned how to pick it up in the bathroom. It doesn't sound right, but you know what I mean.
Pick it up.
But yeah,
that's really funny because I still can't manage the coordination of that. It's not
in
my blood.
Different types. It's like, do you two-step, do you skank, do you slam dance? Like, it's all, I don't know.
I don't think there's one proper way.
Yeah.
At this point,
so I don't worry about dancing. I just worry about playing music.
That's better that way.
You know, my line is, I don't dance to the beat, I make the beat.
See, that's good because sometimes
that's my excuse.
That's my thing. I don't like to. I feel like you can't really get into the show unless I'm a little drunk, you know, and start dancing.
Totally.
So then I'm like, okay, then I don't care so much. But then if I'm like, you know, not drinking, I'm just like, is this how I do it?
Yeah.
Like, do I look weird? Is everyone watching me? And then, you know, of course that's stupid. But
well, you could practice in the mirror like Elijah.
Yeah, you could.
That's why I practice in the bathroom, man. I was like, yo, dude. Like, my friend was like, yo, man, let's just do it. Just go. I'm like, dude, no.
It's like, just give me.
I'm 13. I haven't
got to get it right.
I mean, that's pretty awesome though. At 13, to go in there and trying to do your little arm things.
It was fun. I would say the best thing is I got to go to CB's a bunch of times.
And did you really?
Yeah, I was getting snuck in there. Like,
I was gonna say, how'd you?
They're putting
there?
Me in like guitar bags. No, I used to sneak in, and every now and then I would jump up on stage and like ask my friend if I could play his guitar. And
that's awesome. So, I've never gone there, and I heard it was a shithole. Is that true?
It's an acquired. It was awesome. It was like you felt, you know, it wasn't the original because they moved it next door, you know, after a while. But I mean, it was still cool to be in there and just like, you know, see the history and all the smells. And
it's like that's a legendary smell in there.
Yeah,
you know, like,
no,
the Ramones, all these like great punk bands came through there.
No, definitely, no, definitely an iconic place.
So yeah, so like, I don't know, like for me, when I was growing up, I feel like I didn't have a place in Brooklyn that we could really go to like find good bands. Like I lived in, you know, like, you know, Coney Island, obviously,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
So like,
wait, no, where is that?
yeah. That, but if I told you,
Warriors.
If I told you, do you know Marine Park? You probably wouldn't know that, right?
I've heard of it.
How about Garrison Beach?
No,
heard of it?
No, that I haven't heard. Of.
Well,
that
you don't.
Sound like
one of the three.
You don't want to know. Yeah, Garrison Beach is basically like an Irish shanty town. I could say that because I'm Irish. I'm half Irish, so I got it on. It's okay. But there was nothing. There was no culture over there. Like, I think the closest thing we had was like Lemoore's.
Oh wow! Yeah.
And that was still kind of a drive. Like, we had to like go there. Like, it wasn't like, oh, you're just like, hey,
like the heavy metal paradise back in the day.
Yeah. And I was in like, my first band was like a heavy metal-ish band, so we played it, and it was like a fucking hole. Like, but it wasn't cool. It wasn't a cool hole. Like, I wish I would have known about these other places, like Red Zone, Temple. What was that other one, the Third Rail?
Oh yeah, that was in Brooklyn, right?
I think so.
I always heard shows about it. I never went. I just was like, oh man, I can't get out. I have no money, or like I just didn't know how to get there.
Yeah, no, I guess it's hard when you're a kid, but
you didn't have GPS and like Google Maps.
Yeah, and like yeah, exactly. You just were kind of just like, yeah, I'm just gonna stay home and play Zelda.
No, yeah.
But so how did you guys like form the band? Like when? How long have you guys been together?
Well, that's me and Elijah call it because we're the longest members in the band. Well,
2010
I mean, he is. 2010 is when it started really. Yeah. When he picked me up. Playing hacky sack on the side of my
hell yeah. Yeah,
bumming cigarettes.
Gosh. Yeah,
I was bumming cigarettes off him. I mean, originally a lot of these songs, believe it or not, I mean, I wrote them all when I was like 15. Believe it or not, ironically, our single X Marks the Spot, the bass riff, was actually inspired by when I first met Josh when I was 15. So I wrote that around when I met him. Been writing these songs for a couple years. Never wanted to get rid of them. I've always tried to like get drummers, get bands, and like. We'd play like a show where we'd jam a song, and it wasn't really like a tight. We didn't really get tight and actually have songs and actually be like, okay, this is how the song goes. This is a real song. Like, let's go play a show. And until Ken joined in like 2010, so that's kind of like the real benchmark when we really started. You know, actually, I guess you can call it being a band.
Yeah.
It's hard to find a drummer, right?
Like, yeah, dude. Oh my god,
he's telling me stories like I don't know in the 20s.
15 different drummers.
Some of them were actually
drummers.
Really, really good though. Like crazy, like really talented drummers. They just, you know, had other things going on. Right. Couldn't stick with it. And then yeah, when I found him, like after our first practice session, I was like, dude, like this is it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was an instant click. It was really.
I mean, no. Just to say, I mean, he did think I sucked on the first practice.
Here's
the
thing.
I was a skittish 17-year-old.
He was 17. We were like 19, and I was pumping ourselves up like we were the shit, and we were shit.
Yeah, seriously. I was like, what am I getting myself into right now?
You're gonna be in this band. You got to do a couple things first.
So we were trying to jam with him, and it just like not that it wasn't like he just it wasn't clicking at first, and then we went out to the room, the side room, we smoked. And we come back in.
Move?
Yeah, no, we came back in, and I was like, all right, why don't we try actually playing our songs instead of jamming? Because, you know, jamming's an awkward thing sometimes. It's kind of you know.
Especially when you first
meet
and, like, you don't know each other musically,
yeah.
You know.
Now, when we started playing our songs, it actually clicked. I was like, oh, shit, this actually sounds good. And I sent them all the songs, and literally.
You sent them the songs beforehand to, like, well, learn?
No, actually, no.
We went, like, part for part on some tracks, and then. Took them home, and then I just religiously listened to them.
Dude, when he came back, we had one of the best drummers we've ever, like, had.
Aww.
I've ever met play these tracks that he was learning. So all the parts my friend did, I was like, damn it, why the fuck did you play that so well? Now I gotta, you know, fill big shoes. And this kid nailed every single part and even added some new shit. So the next practice he came back, it was just like, holy shit. You know, and
you are a good drummer.
Like, yeah. I mean, I never, you know, it wasn't like he sucked. It's just, it didn't click at first, and I didn't get why. And I guess it was because we were sober.
Yeah, maybe, you know. Yeah.
You gotta get enlightened. You know,
you need exactly. Some Becks.
Nah, but since then, it's been great. We've, you know, been starting to write new shit, you know, and it was nice to actually have a drummer. And he's been the most consistent, like, not even just a, you know, band member, like the most consistent friend I've had. So.
Wow. Oh. Yeah. It's getting kind of sexual.
He actually, on the side note, this kid actually did save my life. I had both my parents pass away during when I first met him.
Oh my god, sorry, man.
And it sucked, man. And I was getting kicked out of my apartment. Like, landlord was a dick. He was like, "All right, your dad's dead. Your mom's dead. All right, where's the rent?" And we were like, "Fuck, we got to be out." So his dad and him were like, "Dude, just come move in with us." I was like, damn, like, I got to bring my cats, too. And they're, you know,
my dad was
they
like,
were
no
like,
problem.
Yeah, they were like, okay, you can keep the cats here for a month, but you got to find a place for them. And his dad and his dad's wife fell in love with the cats, so we got to keep them.
Wow.
But what turned into, like, a few months of him just, you know, like, oh, just going to get on his feet and find somewhere else. You know, here we are, like,
up,
5 years
it,
later.
Yeah.
Still living together.
No, yeah, we just, it was kind of like, it was great, because, like, they kind of adopted me into their family, and, like.
That's amazing, man.
I didn't fuck up too bad that I was able to stay. Like, each month, the month thing was, like, his dad being like, okay. You're good. You could stay. You could stay until, you know, this, or oh no, you can stay until this. And then he ended up moving out. And we had this big house, just me, him, and like his sister.
Yeah, a bunch of other roommates. And
it was like literally
we never went house.
Pretty much, like, we never went to college. So that was college for us.
Yeah, that was the experience.
Wow. So I mean, it goes kind of deep. There's more than just
the
music.
Band,
yeah, that's
lots
level.
Of blue shells too.
Oh, yeah. But I mean, as far as like, you know, with the band, you know. Where it is now, I mean, after a few lineup changes, after we found Josh,
a
like, I just,
changes.
like, damn, like...
Josh is our missing piece of the Triforce, for sure.
That's awesome.
Josh definitely was like, once he joined the band, like, he was only joining because, like, you know, we were kind of fucked out of a bass player. It was only going to be one show. It was only going to be like three shows.
Wait,
like,
really?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It was only supposed to be like two shows.
It was only going
to
be like five shows.
Yeah. And then like he kind of just never kind of, he was just like, yo, when's the next practice? When's the next show? I'm like, oh, we got this. I just kept being like, oh, we got this next show if you want to play it. And he just never quit. So we're still waiting for we're still waiting for the day.
We are bound by contract.
Guys, I got something I
got
to tell you.
Oh, breaking news on the show. Yeah. I got a breaking news, yeah.
Well, now we're bound by contract because when we found Manic Cat, like, we were like, all right, yes, I have these two gentlemen in my life for 2 years.
You'll never leave us.
You'll never leave. I'm going to sue the shit out of you.
speaking of Manic Cat, it's good. This is a gentle segue. I guess what I do. It's why they pay me the big bucks. You know what I'm saying?
Let me pay your pockets. Let me pay your pockets of money that I have.
Shingles.
Yeah. So... how did you guys get involved with them? We're kind of close with them. We've interviewed A Bad Case of Big Mouth, which is your label mates as well, and we're friendly with them as well. So how did that come to be?
I'll let Elijah take a lead on that.
Well, I work in coffee, and I do like fancy picture things on coffee.
Very snobby.
Like, you know.
You're like a barista?
Yeah, I guess you can call it. I know how to, yeah.
Oh, but like that thing where like
the latte art, like if you piss me off, I'm drawing a giant dick in your coffee. Like,
oh shit! That's talent. That is talent.
How many people get Star Wars things on their coffee?
Zero. You can't do that.
Zero, because that's really fucking hard. Oh, like really, really.
Before
hard.
Before he like you know, picked up his ego and was like, "Oh, I can do all these." I was like, "No, you cannot.
You can't do Star Wars." That's all. Nah, I mean it was fun. It was a cool way to get into like coffee and meet people. But
But what's your go-to artwork that you put in there?
Like the swan, because I can kind of make it look like a dragon or like a Pokemon or something.
That's awesome. Okay. So you're working in coffee.
But I'm working in coffee, and I meet a lot of people. So, like, you know, a lot of times people come in, and I'll be like, hey, I'll give you free coffee for this. So this woman came in, and she's wearing a Descendants shirt. And I was like, dude, nice shirt. Like, you listen to music like that? You know, like, you know, rock, punk, whatever. I was like, I'll give you, if you listen to my band, I'll give you your coffee for free. And she did.
Nice move.
She listened to our music. She's like, you guys are really good. I want to have you come out to this place. It's up in Nonet. There's the arcade. You know, it's a venue. You know, we didn't hesitate. We went up and we played. And there's literally, like, no one there. And, like, it was fun because it was an arcade. It was fun. There were people playing video games. But there were, like, maybe two people there other than, like, our girlfriends. And one of those guys that was there was a friend of this woman, Beth. He comes up to us and he's, you know, talks to Beth and he's like, hey, there's my friend wants to sign you guys. And I was just like, wait, like, whoa.
Like, really? Wait, what?
So, like, yeah, I was
like,
just
to like, a contract?
Like a contract where we, like, make music and you, like, music, record it. Yeah, no, it was great. And I was a little, like, skeptic because I was like, wow, like, I feel like this is, like, the Wonders and shit. Like, this is, like, that thing you do.
You mean the O-Needers?
Yeah, that's actually the O-Netters.
My favorite movie of all time,
by the way. Oh, dude, definitely. But yeah, just. One thing led to another, and we were just talking. And
we had a meeting with Peter and Chris.
Yeah, and it was great. You know, we were like, you know, fuck yeah. Like, where do we sign? Yeah, I mean, we've read everything, so I wasn't like, well, no, where do we sign? You know, I didn't get to wipe my ass with my record contract, though.
I wouldn't want you to do that, though.
No, I know, but like, I don't think anyone wants to do that, but secretly, every musician wants to do that after watching Airheads.
Yes, that's what I was trying. What's that? I know that movie, right? Adam Sandler. God damn it.
That's when he was funny. That's when he was funny.
But that was awesome because Adam Sandler was like a background character. It was before he was like big.
It was like the pool cleaning drummer.
Second favorite movie of all time, actually. It used to be on Comedy Central like once a week.
Yeah. Noticing a sense of, I see what kind of movies you like here. It's all like band related movies.
You got me, bro. You got me. You know. Anyway, so
did we find the plug?
No, we didn't find the plug. We want to play a song.
I have one in my car. I could.
See, the thing is that we have a plug that's like plugged into the whole system here. It's usually just right there. Like, just here's the plug.
You guys
plug
just need an aux cable, right?
Yeah, yeah. But we don't know where it's plugged into in this whole board. But we're working on it. But anyway, that's why.
I was just about to say that.
But if you see us like frantically looking around, it has nothing to do with you guys. We're just
That thing work? You can pull it up on that.
Yeah, that's a whole other thing. But so anyway, let me try to mess with that. I mean, Steve, you wanna take the lead on a question or two?
Yeah, let's go in here. So I know you guys have been there's been some buzz about your new album coming out, right? I've been seeing on Facebook you guys had some teasers and things like that. What's in the works with that album?
It's a cultivation, or it's a wow.
Wow. Okay.
Wow.
You know what?
I'm gonna stop talking. We're gonna hand it over to Ken.
A cultivation?
Yeah. Sorry.
I don't know where he was.
I don't know where that talk came from. That's not a word.
It's in the editing process right now, being finished up. You know, everything's been tracked. just little nitpicky things to work on. But yeah, we're looking to release it soon. Throw a big show for it.
March 3rd is the...
That's the official date?
That's the hopeful...
It's the street date? Is that a Tuesday?
Yeah, I was waiting for my street card. I wasn't sure of the date.
That's the street date. That's like, you know, yo, March 3rd, you got that. Like,
so is this the first album of, like, your contract with Man and Cat?
This is our first album ever.
Yeah, first full-length album.
You know, we've always done, like, little demos, and a lot of these songs have been featured on various demos, but this is, like, first time we're going to put it all together and, you know, just be like, this is us. This has like been the last 5 years, 6 years of us, you know, busting our ass and stuff.
Yeah.
You know, it's something that we're ready to put down and you know, not really like ditch and be like, all right, well, fuck you. But like, you know, just move on. And, you know, we have a lot of new stuff that will come out pretty quick after that, too. Yeah. So
I find, you know, the hardest thing about making a record is like playing the songs live, right? Like playing the new songs. I find like,
oh yeah,
you're so used to playing like a certain set, and you're set in your ways, and then all of a sudden, like, oh, now we got to add in this new song.
Like, what is this? No, it's like that Gandalf meme.
Yeah, added some new
man, putting some new songs in the set.
Yeah, it gets freshens it up, right?
Yeah, I mean,
but so at the Manic Cat showcase that's coming up next week, that's kind of why we're here today. That's next Friday. Manic Cat's putting on a showcase. These guys are going to be playing Jump for the Sales. Are you playing any new songs at that? Or are you still kind of waiting to?
We're still waiting.
Yeah, probably not.
We're gonna definitely.
It's not that easy. It's just not that easy.
Yeah, no. I mean, we're all excited. We all have this. You know, we have like so much new material that's just like sitting, waiting to be released. But we're really excited about it. You know, we're not going to cancel out all our songs. We're just like, you know, it'll be like three songs of our old set, you know, and like two or three new songs for a new set. But we're definitely just going to try and promote this record for the next few months and just, you know, get it out there and, you know, jam it down your throats.
And,
exactly.
And where is the show next week? It's in Long Island, I think.
No,
right?
It's in Nyack upstate.
Nyack. I saw that and I thought that was Long Island for some reason. I'm not sure why.
It kind of sounds like a Long Island thing.
Like, it's perfect because it's in Manic Cat's like home base area. Upstate.
Oh, they're based in upstate. Yeah, yeah. I never knew.
They're
that.
Out of Nanit or Nanit.
Nanuit.
Nanuit. No, there's many ways to say it. But I think the show. Yeah, it's at the. It's at Olives, or it's at the Olive Bar or Olives.
Eat one or the other. If you just Google Olive Nyack and something.
If you look on our Facebook, facebook.com/JFTSNYC, we will be spamming it for the next few days. So you will definitely be able to see the link or the event there, and we'll, you know. You can just check it out.
I can pull it up for us. I can do
you
that.
Can do awesome.
I can do it.
Technology.
Well,
the showcase should be awesome, though.
I'm just nervous to like touch my phone right now. I just like don't want to get shocked or.
No. You should be safe.
First time we're playing.
What do I do with my hands?
What do I do with my hands?
But yeah, so you guys are playing with Bad Case and Big Mouth, right?
First time,
Is this the first time you've played with other Manic Cat bands? Or
yes and no. Some of them yes. Like we never played with Bad Case. I don't believe so. No.
No. This would be the first.
We were supposed to, but we didn't. We've played with Thieves. They're really good friends of ours.
We do love those guys.
We love those guys.
You guys are listening. Love you.
We love you guys.
We love you too. I love you.
Everybody. All of you.
So I got it for us. Okay, so next week, Friday, December 6th. I'm dyslexic here. December 9th, Olives Bar. That's 118 so Main Street in Nyack, New York. Doors at 10. Well, that's a late show. Doors at 10 p.m.
Yeah, it's a late. Wow, it's a holiday show. Saying, a lot of eggnog, you know, Christmas.
10 o'clock in the middle.
Holidays. Sorry.
No, it's 10 in the morning.
I mean, that's good. I mean, more information, manicatrecords.com.
You really think it's 10 in the morning, Josh?
Don't mask him.
It's like the Ernie Ball stage at Warped Tour. 10 a.m.
10 in the morning.
Josh is mad at 10 a.m., 10 p.m.
Yeah, he'll have a Bex.
Bex will be there.
He's our fourth member.
Yeah. We're not talking about Beck the... the artist,
the Grammy Award winning artist.
Yeah. So the song that's on Spotify is X Marks a Spot.
Yes, sir.
Is that a new? That's on the new album, or is
that is the yes? That is on our new album. It is our single. It is a song we've had probably the longest.
It's probably our most popular song.
Most popular. You know, people seem to, you know, go. Like we save it for the last. You know, song because people like it, and
it's like the closer.
Yeah, we don't want people leaving, so we're like, okay.
Encore song.
All right, well, we're gonna try to play it. Hopefully, it works. I think that auxiliary cable is the right. I think that's right. So, is it queued up?
It's on the other side.
Oh shit!
They switched it. Yeah, we got they revamped the studio, so we're you know.
Martha Stewart came in here, was moving things around.
Let me do this to you.
Oh, look at that limbo. All
right, here we go. I'm ready.
Okay, this is. This is X Marks the Spot. new jam from Jump for the Sales. We'll be back with the band to talk a little more shit after this. You're listening to The Shrill Show on Radio Free Brooklyn. Sorry. I don't know what's going on. There's usually a plug here that plays songs, and I feel like an asshole because I don't know how to play a song. It's usually so easy. And
might have to break out the acapella.
Today is just, we're all hungover. I need a Bex in my life. I don't know what's going on. But anyway, sorry guys. We'll try to find the plug and play it in a little bit. But so let's just jump back into stuff. Sorry about that. So as part of like the contract with Manicat, are you gonna do like a kind of an extensive tour or
That's classified and
that's a D7.
You have to, I plead the fifth. You will need to talk to my lawyer. Okay. As much as I think I can talk about, I actually, on a serious note, I mean, touring is in the works.
Yeah.
You know, we're planning on, you know, touring around our release. We're still a couple months out, so we still have a little bit of time. But we're planning on trying to have a tour ready for middle, end of March with, hopefully with When Thieves Are About, you know, the...
And those guys are playing too, right?
Yeah, they'll be playing. Those guys are great. Check them out. When Thieves Are About. They got their new singles, Youth Decay. Look those guys up. We're you know, looking forward to trying to get out and, you know,
because we do want to get on the road.
Yeah, have you guys toured before at all?
Slightly. Little weekend warriors, like twice during a month. You know, we'll go out like Thursday, Friday, Saturday, come back home, and then go out like Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and then, you know, come back home.
So it's a lot of like Northeast type stuff.
Yeah,
hitting, like,
you know, we try not to go too
upstate.
Far. You know,
we drive around
it's like
in
a game
my
of
Honda
risk.
Fit with all the gear and the
serious. That's a small car,
dude.
We are the commercial.
I play a lot of Tetris.
Like, that's a really small car.
I play
amazing.
A lot of Tetris to make sure it's packed.
Damn, I love you guys with your video games. I love it, even in real life. Now, Elijah, I just have to ask you one question. I see your DS right there.
I didn't even realize that was there. I just didn't want it to fall out.
I knew it was there. Don't show it.
I just keep looking at it, and I'm just wondering what game you got in there.
What game do I have?
It's
Pokemon. Actually, okay.
Is it Pokemon?
It is Pokemon.
Is it the new one?
It's not. Oh. And I'm going to tell you why.
Please.
I have it. I don't want to play it yet because I actually like
it. Is that X and Y?
No, it's actually Alpha Sapphire.
I love that game.
That was what got me back into it. I actually... stopped after.
Here we go.
Yeah.
Here we go. Pokemon talk.
But anyway, quick talk. No, I'm playing Alpha Sapphire so I can catch all the Pokemans.
Because
I've never done that before. Even with the first 150, I never did that. You know, I never had both versions.
I got close. I got like 130.
Yeah, I got like, you know, like 112 or some shit.
And I was like, I'm killing it. And then I just kind of stopped caring. I don't know. And then
wasted my Master Ball on like a, you know, fucking Rattata.
that's the thing. Okay, that's good, because I'm playing Moon right now.
Oh, nice. I have Sun, but I'm going to start playing in January, because the Pokemon Bank will be...
Yeah, that's the Pokemon Bank will be open, because I know that's a big thing right now. My friend Andrew is actually telling us that because he has all 700, whatever the hell...
Yeah, 700 and something. I don't know.
Is that many Pokemon?
Dude, it's gotten... like, some of them now, crazy. I don't think they're trying. It just seems to be like... They don't seem like
garbage.
It's like, how is that alive? How did that come to life?
They have like an ice cream cone.
Yeah.
Lysol.
Yeah. Just,
They have like a Band-Aid Pokemon.
Dildomon. Yeah. Douchemon. Oh my god! Depending on the version you get douche or you know, Pokemon douche, Pokemon dildo, like
Pokemon tampon.
Know. Yeah,
that's gross.
It's pretty gross. You're fire type, I assume.
Change gears back to music a little bit.
Totally.
I'm always interested, like, to hear people's stories about how they wanted to become like a musician, because it's almost like a call to arms, I find, because, like, you know, like it's a tough thing being a musician. It's not like, you know, it's not like people want you to be a musician. You have to want it yourself, right? It's not like, you know, it's almost kind of a, because I'm a musician too, so I could say this. It's almost like a selfish thing, right? Because it's just, you're doing it for you, but you want to entertain people. So it's kind of like a weird double-edged sword. So I'm always interested in, like, what made you get into music? Like, was it like a specific band or whatever? Go in any order you'd like.
Ladies first, Josh.
Jake. Yeah, when I was younger, my parents were always listening to music, and I mean, I was always interested in it. I played trumpet in junior high school. I got pretty good at that, and around that time, one of my older brothers, he was playing guitar. He was like a big like Nirvana fan, and like, you know, he was into the whole grunge thing. And you know, I wanted to play. He started playing guitar, so I didn't know anything about bass. I figured it was the same thing as playing guitar. I mean, I had no idea, really.
That's a whole other thing.
It's got strings.
Yeah. But I just told my mom. I was like, "Mom, I want to get a bass." And she was like, "You're not getting a bass." Like, so it was at least a couple of years that I wanted one before I actually got one. My sister ended up buying me like a cheap piece of shit for Christmas, and I started playing on that.
Exactly. Yeah. It doesn't matter for bass, right? Who cares? No, I'm
kidding. But I started playing on that, and you know, I practiced a lot. One of my favorite bands at the time probably was like Red Hot Chili Peppers. And, you know, I really loved Flea's playing. And,
of course.
Learning a lot of their songs really helped me develop my technique and stuff. So, you know, I was starting to learn to play with my fingers and slapping and all that kind of stuff. So that's probably how it started.
Yeah.
I started playing with my brothers and joining different bands with my friends and stuff. So.
Right, right. So a gateway band was Red Hot Chili Peppers, pretty
definitely.
Much.
As far as bass playing goes, yeah.
Definitely. Flea, yeah. You know, Flea's a beast.
So. Especially if you're a bassist. I mean, did you want to be a bassist because of Peppers, or like you just happened to gravitate towards that?
I just kind of gravitated towards bass, and I knew that I really wanted to get good at it when I really started listening to the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Yeah, you were like, this guy is doing this.
Yeah, before
I
want
to be able to do that.
Like, the first songs I was learning to play was like Blink-182 and like, stuff like that, and I was just like, this is kind of fucking boring.
Unless it's like Cheshire Cat.
Yeah. Once I started listening to some other bands, I was like, man, like this can really be something cool. Like there were so many times that I wanted to give up playing just because my fingers were like fucking killing me.
Yeah.
And, you know, I just had to keep practicing and keep doing it. And, you know, I progressed pretty quick.
Yeah, the calluses on your hand as a bassist must be pretty redonkulous. Yeah.
He's got mad hands.
But you get used to it.
Hang on. So pick or no pick for you?
I never really play with a pick anymore. I mean, there's certain songs that I... Yeah, there's certain songs I'd rather play with a pick. Like if it's another band's songs and the bass player plays with a pick... Then I'll play with a pick sometimes because it gets like, you know, a little bit of a different tone.
Well, yeah, it's like that Blink-182 stuff. Those Mark Hoppus bass lines aren't they're not too insane. You can almost hear the pick.
There are some
cool
ones, but in general, I mean, they're pretty simple.
Yeah.
But yeah, I usually play with my fingers. That's usually enough for
me. That's awesome, man. That's a whole other thing. You know, like it's like another part of the instrument doing the thing. That's insane.
Definitely. Yeah.
Move down the line.
I got excited when I heard this question, and I was just thinking about my answer the entire time.
It's like a dream come true. Yeah, exactly. Like I always wanted someone to ask me about myself.
I kind of like where I started out. I did, you know, my family has musicians. I mean, on my father's side, everywhere. But I didn't get to start wanting to be a drummer until I saw the movie Drumline with Nick Cannon.
That's respectable.
That was it.
I respect that.
I'd sit there in middle school and I'd start tapping all the parts. You know, like. And I thought I was going to be just like, you know, do like high school, college, marching band type stuff. And then I got into jazz music, joining jazz band in high school, or even my first drum teacher. You know, we go over jazz charts. So it's kind of funny. I started out as a jazz drummer playing, you know, pretty chill, pretty light. And then I just beat the shit out of my kid.
Well, it's good to start kind of as a kid because it gives you a good basis for in jazz.
You start, yeah.
Right. You know, I was actually a similar thing myself. I hated the movie Drumline because I was pissed off.
How dare you?
No, I secretly loved it, but I hated it because I knew that Nick Cannon wasn't like a drummer and he learned to do all that shit for the movie. And I was like, damn, if I had like 6 months and someone paid me and I could just sit and learn, I could do it too. But all this crazy
when you're
shit.
You millions of dollars, you're going to learn that stuff.
Yeah, exactly. And then what was like your gateway band to like get into like more heavy stuff?
To more heavier stuff. Well, I was only in one other band before this. It's a hardcore band, of course, you know, seen out in high school and everything. I don't know, gateway bands. I mean, I don't listen to them anymore, but I'd have to say Linkin Park's kind of in there. It was the first concert I went to. I mean, honestly, like
no shame in that game, man.
But there were a few other albums that I was just like, that was my life at that time.
Meteora was
great. Hybrid Theory. Even Reanimation, you know, I'm not into whole, you know, scratching and DJing things now, but back then it was pretty cool. And then, you know, like Josh said, bands like Blink, Circus Survive, I mean, it's tough because even to this day, like all the bands or new music I find, like that's just new, you know, inspiration and like new techniques and things I can learn. But yeah, I guess I can't think of anything else to Linkin Park, but I will say maybe one... jazz artist Count Basie.
I never heard of him.
His album Straight Ahead, I played maybe 95% of that because one of the songs was like the fastest thing I've ever heard.
You never heard
life.
Of Count Basie?
I never heard of no.
Dude,
I gotta be, I gotta be honest.
Hey. Check him out. Count Basie, he's the album Straight Ahead. It's guy. Amazing jazz album.
I gotta check it out.
Big We're, jazz guy.
In the car, in the car. In the
yeah, we'll totally. Be able to play music in the car, but we can't play music on the show today.
on our music radio show. I don't understand. I just keep looking for no plug.
But no, it's interesting to hear from people, too. Like we ask kind of – a lot of people who come in here and ask that question. And, like, the bands that people, like, say were their inspiration, like – 15 years ago, it would have been so different if we asked that question. Right? Like, it's just it's interesting how like music is like evolving, and now it's like Linkin Park can actually be a band you reference. That's like,
I'm a little sorry I was saying that, but I mean, like, I can't lie. Like back then,
no, and
you can't deny your tastes. You know,
yeah,
mine's worse.
Yeah, let's get into it, man. I'm looking forward to this.
You're gonna laugh, Zelda. When you Majora's Mask, when you put the Zora mask on, and he gets his instruments, the guitar. I was like, what? Like guitar, what is that? Like, what is this thing? Like that, so, and my mom really. My mom took me to a guitar center, and I was like, they opened a new one right up on in Long Island City, and we went like the opening week. And I just remember walking in and just like I froze for a second. Like I've never had that experience other than walking into a KB Toys and seeing like shitload of Star Wars figures. But like I froze,
which he does to this day,
which I still do. I'll be at you know every toy store by you, but I froze, and I was just like, whoa, like the sounds coming from everywhere. Like I didn't know what to do, and I just picked up the first guitar I could find. And I just remember one of the girls that worked there, Jess, was just like, oh no, you gotta, you know, put your thumb like that, or you put your hands like that, and you know, like show me how to actually hold one. And my mom was like, no, we gotta go into the acoustic section, because that was what my mom played. So I was always like envious and wanted to like, oh, I want to go out there and all these people are playing. I'm like, I want to touch an electric guitar. And every time we went, like, it was just like, no, we gotta go to the acoustic section. So I learned on acoustic. I was kind of like forced.
Yeah.
So it kind of ended up helping me because it built dexterity and stuff.
Right. Because the action on the fretboard or whatever. Right? I'm not a guitarist, but I know action.
No, dude, it was like a bow playing on the guitar I had. It was so out of whack.
And, yeah.
You know, we bought it from the guy next door. He was a blues player. So like every now and then I would hear him playing, and you know, just like. You know, bands, I mean, the first band I ever got into was Blink, definitely. You know, first album was Dude Ranch and Take Off Your Pants and Jacket were, like, the first two albums I got. Awesome. Like, I went, and it was the day Take Off Your Pants and Jacket came out, and I bought that, and it was just like, I'm surprised, because I went right in. I was, like, maybe 9 years old, and they didn't even ID me or anything. They're just like, oh, here you go. Here's this album that talks about, you know, seven fucking hot dogs. And,
same exact thing. When I went to buy Enema, I was definitely too young to be listening to it, and you know it was basically a porn star on the cover.
Yeah.
And the guy that when I bought it, he was like, he looked at me, and he knew what he was doing, and I knew what I was doing, and we're like, are we gonna do this?
Is this happening?
And the transaction occurred, and I felt like I slowly backed out of the store, and he was just watching me the whole way. It was like stupid.
It reminded me of Home Alone right there, like the Macaulay Culkin thing where like he forgets to pay for the toothbrush, and he's just like,
yeah, he's like
backing up. Like.
But I actually gave money, so I wasn't shoplifting. The transaction, you know, was legal.
Technically it wasn't.
But I always find it interesting, like how many people like mention Blink It really is across the board, no matter what music you wind up kind of playing. Because I wouldn't say you guys are like sound like Blink at all. Like you definitely.
I mean, the influences went from there. I mean, we started with Blink. You got a little heavier, and then the whole screamo movement came out, and you know there were heavier bands. And then my brother actually got me in the metal because I was like, wait, you've been playing for 2 weeks. I've been playing for 2 years. Why are you better than me? I was like, because he's playing like metal and shit. And then you know, he showed me the first Megadeth album I ever listened to, and I was just like, whoa. Like, yeah. I want to play like that. And I never left my punk roots. So, you know, like, it's like we're like a metal Blink-182, if that makes any sense.
No, hey.
You
know?
I mean, it all trickles in because the genre that Elijah told me, and I still say to this day,
it was
is
like a joke kind of thing. Like,
funk, punk, groove metal.
Yeah. Which you can never decide.
It's the only thing I can describe us as anyway, so.
There's slap bass, there's punk.
Yeah,
there's
metal definitely.
Roots, you know, there's a little groove in there.
It's breakdowns.
Well, it really is a good amalgamation. It's a good cultivation of all of your backgrounds, which is kind of cool. So trying to maybe figure out, do you know how to like switch the screens on the computer to get to the next screen?
Can this play? Sorry, I have to.
No, can this come? It says right there. We could do Spotify, iTunes, and whatever.
You can pull up YouTube. I could find it on YouTube for you guys too.
Mm, is it?
Yeah.
Am I looking at here?
It is on
Spotify, you know, or like some website screens? Does a thing.
It's like some. Let me. I want to ask you guys a question that we can kind of stall with, because you were talking about like first albums. You guys remember the first albums you guys bought, like first purchase?
Yeah, it was for me. It was Blink-182, Anima of the State.
Okay, that was Blink.
I think that I actually personally like physically bought. It was Sticks and Stones, Newfound Glory.
Oh, that was a good album.
I got it for $1 at a garage sale.
Really? That's a good deal. That's less than one MP3 on iTunes.
Yeah.
And then you were.
Definitely Take Off and Dude Ranch are the first.
Okay,
two.
So a lot of Blink. I remember the first album I bought, and I don't know why I bought this album, but it was Presidents of the United States.
Oh, wow.
Of America. Yeah. I was in Blockbuster, and I was like 8, and I was like, oh.
I still have my Blockbuster card, actually.
Do you really?
Yeah, keep it for
I miss Blockbuster.
I have your Blockbuster card.
You know, I feel like that was like an experience. Yeah, going to Blockbuster.
Every Friday, we'd go there. I'd hope I'd get the same like Nintendo 64 game that my file was still on.
Yeah, dude.
I always did somehow. It was like a miracle.
Because you're the only one.
I was the only one renting Super Star Wars: Empire Strikes Back. Like,
I just love going there because there's something about the experience about going to Blockbuster, because it was like this. It was, I don't know. It was like,
I had West Coast Videos. I had one of those by my house.
West Coast. I have not been. I have not been to West Coast.
Actually, I mean, it was same thing.
Same thing.
Just not a bigger name.
Just as nice. I really wish that they somehow stayed in business. Like,
I never went into
like the whole Netflix.
Was it the adult section?
The
rated X section.
Was it written?
I feel like maybe you could. Is it was like behind like a curtain?
Yeah, always a curtain, and you could like kind of see like, you know, the DVDs in the aisle. You're trying to see
a bunch of sad guys going in there, just like,
what the fuck are you looking at? Like, Dad.
He's like, I'll be right back. I just got to go check. They say there's a bathroom back here. I'll be right back. I'm just like, I don't know about that, Dad.
Like, there are no opera videos.
There's a cigar lounge in the back.
How we doing here?
How we doing?
You're doing great.
I'm doing great. All right. I'm just reminiscing about Blockbuster, because I was saying, because at one point, didn't Netflix go to Blockbuster and say to buy them out or something?
It was weird. I remember. I just remember this. Netflix was something like, okay, I want to rent this movie, so they send it to you.
Yeah.
And then you couldn't rent another movie until you sent that back.
No, I thought. I think they changed that. Like initially, maybe they did that.
No, it was like that.
But then there was like, oh, you can get like a few here.
Oh yeah, they changed the limit you could get. But you still, before you rented more, I think you had.
There was no time frame. Like,
no,
I think you could. It could have been like
ever.
Forever. You could
have
kept it.
I'm sure there's someone out there that still has DVDs. I still have Blockbuster stuff.
I have library stuff from when I was like in the third grade. Never returned.
Wow, oh, man, you know what that costs right now? It's probably like $10.
Maybe I shouldn't have said that.
It's a warrant for your arrest at this point.
Seriously.
Like, we got Ken. He's got that the Giving Tree book or whatever.
$2 million library fee. Giving Tree
book. I actually have a question. I have an interesting question. This is not interesting at all, actually. Do you think that? Do you think that VHS will make a comeback like vinyl did? You know, VHS could be like the.
I could see it.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it could be like, oh, now
I still watch
collecting
VHS. I mean, if I want to watch. I seriously do. I mean, some of my favorite movies are still on VHS. Like, you know, like, I'll watch, like, you know, Star Wars, and, you know, I'm like, damn it, I don't want to see Hayden Christian. Like, when I'm watching Return of the Jedi or something.
Because they digitally added
that
him in.
I mean, like, I get it, but at the same time, like, I have the original one on VHS and stuff. So, like, I'll pop that in every now and then.
See, I don't have a working VHS player.
I heard it somewhere that like the last company that was still like mass producing like VHS players, of VCR, I guess.
VCR?
Yeah, like they stopped making them. So like, nobody's manufacturing VCRs anymore.
Wow. So that the price is going up. We gotta get on eBay.
Yo,
right,
that's
right
what we gotta do. We gotta make VHS players. We gotta make VCR guys.
I remember when DVDs first came out. And they used to sell the split. It was like DVD and VHS, and that was like, I was like, but why do we need DVDs? Like, we already have VHS. But I didn't
think they were gonna last, and they kind of didn't. That's Blu-rays like everywhere now.
Yeah, and now it's like you don't even need it, because
you
can just
buy anything.
Yeah, you don't need to buy anything. My mom's like, oh, what do you want for Christmas? Like, my mom is still like tries to make me do a Christmas list. I'm fucking almost 30 years old. I love you, Ma, but I mean, like, I don't know what I want. I can just go out and buy my own thing now. I don't need. I feel bad making her buy me. But she's still like, I give me like at least 5 things. I'm like, used to be, I could get a DVD. Yeah. I could get a book. And now it's like, I don't need to get any of that stuff, because everything's on demand. Even a book, if I want to, like, I could download a book that I want
to
listen to or watch or
gift cards
whatever.
Are the way
you
to go, man.
You could listen to it too.
Gift cards, man.
Yeah, that's true.
Amazon gift cards.
Give me like a Blockbuster gift card.
Yeah.
Is that a thing that you used to do?
I remember getting when Titanic came out on VHS. It was a 2 VHS thing, and my mom really loved the movie. And when you bought the VHS, it came with a Blockbuster gift card. but a Titanic Blockbuster gift card, and I still have that somewhere in the house. Nice. I would love to see that, so I can give that to you for Christmas.
Thank you. Now you ruined the surprise.
Yeah. You'll forget.
Okay, so we're gonna try one more time to play the song. I've got it on Spotify on here. You got the laptop on. Let's just say a quick prayer. In the name of the Father, Son, the Holy Ghost.
And Master Anakin Skywalker.
Just push play.
All right, so hopefully this is X Marks the Spot by our good friends Jump for the Sales. And we're kind of wrapping up, so we'll be back after this, and we'll have some final thoughts like Jerry Springer. I'm just stalling until I have enough courage to push this button.
Just let it happen.
Push it. All right,
go for it. It's happening.
Not already. Hear anything?
Wait. You know,
I don't know what I honestly I don't know what else to do.
We didn't pray enough.
I mean, I don't know what else to do, guys. I'm really sorry. This is kind of embarrassing.
We can edit this. We can edit that in.
Yeah, we can edit it in later. So every time when we send you the MP3, the wave file,
you'll be playing this song.
It'll be playing the song. Yeah.
At least we'll get to hear.
I like that part.
Put my phone by the mic, and we'll just play it out of there.
Well, I mean, you guys said you were going to play a live song.
We were.
I brought
my phone.
Don't put this on our guests.
I brought my phone.
They've been very nice. They've been very nice.
I'm sorry. I'm really sorry.
I saw my phone.
So I heard something really interesting from Facebook. So, like, I don't know.
Is that true?
I don't know if anything's true anymore. I don't know if the Russians put this into my Facebook feed.
All right, you know, just be careful who you got. Hillary might kill you.
So I heard that this year, right, because then they do an end-of-year tally of, I guess, who made the most money. Like in music or movies, like The Rock was like the number one earning actor in 2016, blah, blah, blah. I found out that Taylor Swift made more money in 2016 than Jay-Z, Kanye, and Justin Bieber combined.
Oh, wow.
How is that possible?
I don't know.
I'm surprised Kanye has not come in here now to like interrupt
wait
us.
A minute.
Like, wait a minute.
Let me just say this.
You guys finish.
Jump for the Sales had the most sales this year.
That would be, I mean, hey, I would rather that than Taylor Swift. She should.
Yeah, I wish that was.
She should. They didn't say how much money it was, because like, I don't know if there's any way to calculate that much money. That seems, that's got to be.
I'm sure someone knows. Someone's
it's all the teenagers and their parents that are spending the money. Like, the teenager will listen to it and want everything related to Taylor Swift.
Exactly
and the parents
true.
Are just opening their wallet. That's it.
And the best part about Taylor Swift, the real genius of her team, whatever you want to call her people that like put her together and put her on stage, is that she started as a country singer, right?
Oh, wow.
And so like she was originally country, and so the fans of the country are very loyal, right?
Oh yeah, dude. I mean, they're like an army.
Right. And the thing is, they
switch.
I'm serious, because like look, even Hootie and the Blowfish, right? Hootie is now goes by his name Darius Rucker, right? And he's a country guy, and he's got more fans now, but you would never hear about it because the country is like it's like its own thing, right?
Yeah. Like Brooklyn, but for United States.
It's so
that
true.
Makes so much sense.
Damn, blew my mind, bro. I need to sit down. but I don't know why I wanted to bring that up. I just feel like I thought that'd be interesting for you guys to maybe a little inspirato for you to go out now. We gotta beat down.
We're
Taylor
gonna start
Swift.
Covering Johnny Cash songs now.
No, it's gonna be the next album's gonna be Jump for the Sales and featuring Taylor Swift.
Yeah.
I'd be a sick collab.
We're gonna get Hootie, just Hootie.
You know, I was thinking like because these things talking about like jokingly talking about Taylor Swift featuring. I would like to see some of these like pop stars feature on some like actual rock albums. I would like to see like a combo and see what
that.
They can do.
Never really.
I feel like no one collabs anymore. It's only like rappers, but no one gives a shit because there's too many. They collab too much, and you don't even know whose song it is at the end.
It's like, who is this?
Yeah, like who's like. Ja Rule comes back or something. Like I saw
Ja Rule.
I don't know.
King
of the rules. Ja Rule. But
I'm real.
I saw a weird combo. It was like Nelly featured on like a Simple Plan song, like a new Simple Plan song or something.
Yeah, really? A new Simple Plan?
Damn you Spotify.
It's fucking
it was like
seriously.
Look, go on Spotify and it's like featuring some rapper. It was like the weirdest. I was like, Simple Plan. Like they didn't sound like Simple Plan. It was like this new I guess they're trying to reinvent themselves to be for the kids.
Falling Reverse did something like that too with like their cover of Gangster's Paradise.
They got what was that, Coolio?
Yeah, whatever happened to Coolio? Like
you know what's funny? Last year we covered 90s Fest and it was like a whole nostalgia concert like series whatever and Coolio was there.
Oh wow.
And we got to meet Coolio.
Oh wow.
You know, he got fat. That's what I'm going for. He got
fat.
He's then, like, well, more money, more food, right?
Seriously. And we took a picture with him, and he's literally, like, me and Steve are, like looking goofy, and his face is just like, he's just like,
I'm gonna pull like, up
just
take
what that. Am I
just,
doing here?
Yeah, just take the picture, bro. Like, don't, I'm not gonna smile for you. You didn't pay me.
It's like, I'm not getting paid for this. I'm not smiling.
Some food? Can you give me some Cheetos or something?
Cheetos would sound good right now. I could use one. But so we're like maybe like another 4 minutes left in the show. I just want to like thank you guys for coming on.
Thank you guys. We are the. Oh, that's a good picture.
That is awesome.
We'll throw it up on our Facebook.
He does not give a shit.
He's but, like watching. He's listening right now.
Yeah.
I'm gonna kill those guys and jump in the sails.
Little do we know he's like our biggest fan.
Yeah.
I would love for that to happen.
But anyway, yeah, thank you guys for coming on. Really appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
This was fun.
I'm sorry about the technical snafus and all that BS.
Hey, life happens, man.
I mean, any guys out there that are, you know, want to listen to it, it's on Spotify. You can go listen to it. It's free.
You can download it, or you can buy it,
which we would.
God forbid.
We would. God forbid. I know how people are.
And God forbid you pay a dollar.
A dollar. Put a little ramen packet in our backpacks this year when we go on tour. You know.
Yeah. So speaking of that, just to finish up, like what? So like in the immediate future, you got the show on Friday.
Friday the 9th,
the showcase.
Yeah, and. Other than that, what else is coming up for you guys? Do you have any? Cause I know you're kind of in planning mode to release the record. So
for the most part, we're really just gonna like try and focus on the release, make it as big as possible. There's rumored we'll be sharing the stage with someone really familiar with the New York scene. I can't tell you who yet.
Ooh,
it's classified. But,
it's classified.
All right. Like, well, when you announce it, we'll announce it after you announce it.
If you're from New York and you remember, you know, New York scene, you'll appreciate it. But other than that, we're really hoping to get this record out as soon as possible, you know, and have everyone listen to it and enjoy it. And, you know, we're not going to stop there, you know, just from then on, it's going to be like a domino effect of just
stuff,
thing after thing, recording this, you know, music. We got a music video coming out for X Marks the Spot.
Awesome.
And then, we'll have a follow-up single. That's, you know, we're still deciding, but, we'll take votes. Vote for your favorite single. we'll be doing a music video for that as well. And then, you know, after this, we should be, you know, going back into the studio to record an EP, our follow-up EP. Cool. Five brand new songs, five brand new things.
Brand new.
Brand new, spanking new, never heard before, never released.
And hopefully, you know, if you guys trust us enough, you can come back and we'll actually be able to
bring an acoustic guitar next time.
We'll be pictures and shit.
Cool, man. All right, so got the... The next show's coming up, you've been listening to The Stroll Show. We've been, I guess, Jump the Sails. Really appreciate you guys coming on. Check out all the bands, Manic Cat. They're all awesome. You're not going to be disappointed. And thank you to Pete for hooking this up.
Thank you, Pete.
And we'll be back at you next week with...
You got to keep flying next week. Formerly Survey Says, so... Got more stuff, everybody.
Pick it up.
Pick it up. All right, thanks, guys. Awesome.